Coaches, I wanted to take a quick minute before we jump into today's episode to remind you about the power of our Green Team Framework. Now, if you're a coach who's been with us for many years, you know how powerful the Green Team is. And for all those that are new, you need to take advantage of it starting today. In fact, we guarantee that within 30 days, you will have more committed, consistent, and competitive athletes in your program once you implement the 7 parts of the Green Team Framework. It's a leadership framework that, as one of our coaches in St. Louis said, is like leadership cheat code. It's as if we figured out all the right buttons to push to get your players to level up. So, coach, if you haven't gotten started with Lead 'Em Up, get involved today and start taking advantage of the leadership framework, the Green Team Framework that will transform your program. And if you're already in Lead 'Em Up, you know the power of the Green Team. We just want to encourage you, keep building your Green Team. Keep going deeper. Keep reaping the benefits. Hey, listen, make sure you're building your Green Team. But in the meantime, enjoy today's episode. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us. I am Adam alongside Kyle. And today, Kyle, this is a topic that was actually presented to us by one of the coaches in our community that asked the question of the following. How do you manage your players when in your program you put extreme emphasis on leadership? You are very intentional with leadership in your program. It is a focal point. But then when those players leave your program and play other sports on other seasons with other coaches, and in those cases, those coaches do not prioritize leadership, do not put an emphasis. How do you help prevent your players from then slipping or falling into bad habits or beginning to get a shifted perspective to say, you know, we don't need it. Leadership's not that important. I know you talk about it in this sport, but I played this other sport and we actually had success and that coach doesn't care about leadership and we still won games. How do you help make sure you don't lose your players and all the momentum you generated from the work you put in? Now, obviously, I just paraphrased the question. That wasn't the exact wording of the question, but that was essentially the question. And I get it, right? Because I've been with teams where, and let's say it's a basketball program and the coach is all in on leadership. It is a focal point. They are intentional. It is being developed. And then let's say 5 or 6 of those players in winter are very critical, very important players, very important leaders. You're building momentum. And then, bam, they go over to their spring sport where the coach doesn't care, doesn't have the intentionality. Now, all of a sudden, it becomes diminished of its importance in those players' minds. They kind of begin maybe getting into bad habits. And you're almost having to now start back from square one when you get those players back in the future. And how can you manage that? How should you manage that? What would be the best approach to help make sure that they are still being elevated and that they, you don't lose the momentum that, hey, this is important. And I think that's so important, especially with young people, because you as a coach, as you are emphasizing leadership and character, the reality is you got to get buy-in on it. You got to get buy-in. And you got to sell to the players that this matters. You have to. I mean, that's just the reality of the nature of the beast. So, but yet if you sell them and they were already hesitant when they came in, right? And you had to sell them and you finally got them over the line. And then they go to the next coach who doesn't, they're back over the line in the opposite direction, right? What do you do in this situation, Kyle?
It's tough. And honestly, this is been a conversation that's come up more and more in the past 3 or 4 months talking with coaches in schools. And it's something that has actually led to a few more of our campus days that we have coming up here, Adam. And it goes back to what you were just talking about. There's been a pain and a frustration that coaches experience when they go all in on Lead 'Em Up or a similar type program. they're investing in their athlete's character and their leadership. And then they move on to the next sport. And then there's the off season and all that time in between. It's almost like they have to restart and hit the ground running again. And like, there's this backsliding that can occur because it's not as important. So it's certainly a challenge that is out there. And it's something that I think more people are becoming aware of. And the way that I think that you can help counter it and maybe have conversations, because, you know, when you run into this situation, it means you're dealing with a coach who doesn't have as much emphasis on leadership development or character. They're still able to win without it. So it's, how do we get the message to them that it's important? And when you were talking, I got this, I don't know, it just popped in my mind of like, let's say we're driving down the road in our car, and for whatever reason, you don't know the gas light could be on. Let's say the gas light is out in your car, but the car's still running fine. And you think, man, I've got another 20 miles out of this. I'm easy. I can make it. But you don't know that there's really only 5 miles left. I think for some coaches, they're flirting with that gas tank getting to empty, and they don't know it. And they might be able to skate by for this season, but sooner or later, that's going to catch up to them. That's going to hurt them. So if you're a coach where you want the other coach in a different season to be able to continue on the work that you're doing, or at least have some of the same emphasis that you do, we've got to kind of paint the picture for them a little bit that it might be good right now, but that doesn't mean it's going to be good down the road. And, you know, right now is summer camp season. And the other thing that pops into my mind is everyone that has a successful program, they have a youth sports camp in the summer. They're getting those kids involved. They're getting them used to the program. They see the older athletes, how they do things, things like that. They're kind of like exposing them to it at that point. Well, we need to do the same thing as an athletic department, not just a sport, but we need that same kind of approach that it matters to get everyone involved. And when that happens, that's when you really get the special athletic departments. And then byproduct of that is those teams. So certainly a dynamic situation, but it's one where it's becoming more and more of an issue as more teams get involved in this.
Yeah, I mean, you're totally right. And it does make sense why there's an increase of campus days, because coaches that are championing it, they want others to champion it, because then that makes their job easier.
It does. 100%.
You've got multiple coaches in the building all sharing the same sentiment, elevating, and, you know, the rising tide raises all boats. When all the teams start elevating, then everyone benefits from it. I want to clarify this. I think the dynamic and challenge only is present when the teams that don't emphasize leadership are decent.
Yeah.
Are relatively, very important to say, relatively successful. Very important to note that. Because I don't think this is an issue if you're a coach worrying about the momentum you generated with the other team, if they go to that team and that team struggles and that team is unhealthy and that team is underachieving and it's a relatively toxic culture. In fact, I think if they leave your program and go to that program, I think it actually deepens your message. Because now all of a sudden this player is going to this new team and they're like, wow, this is a mess. This is unhealthy. This is toxic. They need leadership. They need the green team. They need whatever it happens to be. Okay. I think it actually deepens the message. I don't think it's as much of a worry. In fact, I think, yes, they may not be able to practice the skills that they've learned, but I think they've deepened on their understanding of the need. I mean, I've said this many times. The people that buy in quickest, I believe everyone relatively buys into the green team, but the people that buy in quickest are the ones that have had major experiences with red teams. When they had major experiences with red teams or red environments, you present the green team and it is like, oh, let's go. Right. Cause they are remembering their past experience. They remember that other team. So it is easy. So I think when they enter into that space and they experience red, now you get to have a conversation with those players and say, listen, this is why we work on it. This is why it's so important. Look what happens when you don't create an intentionality around it. Look, you're experiencing the pain. Now, all of a sudden, they actually double down on their intentionality when they come back to you because they know what the pain feels like. The challenge comes when a program or a team has relative success in spite of leadership. Because now players, not understanding the whole dynamic and being so binary, did we win or did we lose? Are we good or are we bad? In many cases, this black and white perspective that if we 15 games in the regular season and we win 11-4, they're like, we're good. We didn't even, you know, we didn't have leadership, right. But we didn't emphasize it, but we were good. So what do you mean I need to work on it over here? We went 11-4 in that with that team over there without spending any time on it. So what do you do in that situation? Because now that becomes the challenge because they're not lying. They went 11-4.
Right. They're still successful.
Maybe they won one or two playoff games. They had some success in the postseason. You have to remind your players that good or bad is not the scale to grade success in sports. It all needs to be tied to one's potential.
Exactly.
11-4 is a good, in fact, 11-4 is a great year if the potential of the players on the team were 500. And if you looked at it for all intents and purposes, and we had a roster that frankly, if we went 500, that would have made sense because that's roughly what I envisioned us being. It's what I expected us to be. And we went 11-4. Holy smokes. Fantastic.
And you probably had a lot of breaks go your way. You know, you're relatively healthy. No, you know, you kind of rolled the dice a little bit and you won. And that's the byproduct of it. Like everything went your way.
Now, but on the flip side, right? Hey, player, you all went 11-4. What do you think your potential actually was? You have to start asking these questions to those players, you know, because, yeah, you know, I hear what you're saying. You don't think leadership's that, you know, y'all don't emphasize it and you still won. Let me tell you what I think. I saw that y'all were 11-4 and you won a playoff game. I got to be honest with you, with your talent and what you all had coming back and the potential y'all had in that room, I think everyone would agree. Y'all could have been 14-1. Y'all could have had home field advantage rather than having to travel in the second round. Yeah. Now, frankly, you all losing in the second round was actually an element where I actually felt like y'all should have made it to the championship. Right. So we have to begin positioning that to our players and say, okay, I see the success you had, but how does that success match up with the potential you all thought? Because leadership and character, when it's done in the sports space, is all about getting one team to reach their fullest potential. It's about getting the most out of each individual athlete, right? And getting the most out of ourselves. The character is ourselves. The leadership is others. It is about getting the most out of ourselves, demonstrating the character needed to succeed, then getting the most out of others, engaging in the leadership needed to succeed, putting it all together, then allowing your team to reach its fullest potential. You have to have conversations with players so they understand, yes, you didn't emphasize it. Yes, you didn't work on it. Yes, you think you had relative success, but let me tell you and show you what you left on the table.
Mm-hmm. I think the other part of that, not only approaching it from the players need to know what's left on the table, but right, we've got to get the coach to buy in, even though they've been successful. So how do you get a coach to buy in that's had a winning record, that's been successful, that has been around, let's face it, 20, 30 years, and they've done things for a long time? My approach would be to get back to the core of why they began coaching and even getting back to why they got involved in athletics. And for coaches right now, just kind of maybe think to yourselves, what's the top three reasons why you got involved in sports to begin with? I'd be willing to bet that fun is in the top three. And then when you look at today's athletes, there's a different list in there, but I read something this past week that when you look at the top five reasons why kids are involved in sports today, youth in high school, fun is at the top of the list. Being with their friends is at the top of the list. Competing is right up there with that. So we can't lose sight of those things, right? Number one, those are three things that have to be at the forefront of what we do. The other part about that is, let's just be real and honest. Most high school athletes, when you look across the board, have a 1 in 16,000% chance of going professional. 1 in 16,000. Adam, it's rainy season here in Florida. We're getting a storm rolling in here in a little bit. Do you know what the odds are of someone being struck by lightning? You know, Florida's like the lightning capital of the world, but any guess what the odds of you or I being struck by lightning are?
I don't know.
1 in 15,000. So we have a better chance statistically of being struck by lightning than going to the pros. So that would be my approach to one of these coaches that are a little bit resistant to it. Like, hey, these kids that are on your team statistically are going to be done playing sports by the age of 21. Most won't even make it to that level. Even if they do, they have a 1 in 16,000 chance of making. They got a better chance of being struck by lightning. So if all we're going to do is teach them how to win a game, then we're failing them. I'm sorry. I'll say that to someone's face, because you got to have that level of conviction in it. You got to have that level of belief. But if you're not teaching them life skills, how to be a good person, how to be a person of character, how to lead people, right? They say, again, that sports teaches those things. Well, I've got four kids in my garage right now. I just walk past. They're all playing, and it's starting to storm here. We've got basketballs. We've got hockey pucks. We've got footballs. All of them are in the garage. None of those objects right in that garage are teaching them anything about life. Sports don't teach it. That football doesn't teach it. That basketball doesn't teach it. The coaches do. So if we're not developing them as people, then we're falling short. And we know that better people make better athletes. And we know that coach-led teams are good, but player-led teams are great. So why not take it to the next level?
You know,
pose it to them like that. See what the answer is.
Yeah, that's a tough conversation for a coach to have with a fellow peer.
It is, but I mean, what's the other? You know, you don't have to be animated and like that. But I think that's a, you know, a good thing that if that conversation needs to be had to roll it out to the whole program, that's where maybe you can have a conversation with the athletic director and say, hey, this is something that's on my heart. This is something that maybe that we could discuss as an athletic department. Like, maybe we could just have a round table of like, let's just get back to why we're doing this, see what comes up. And then we're able to connect the dots.
And I do agree. Listen, I'm an advocate of having that conversation. I think it's also one that if you're in a situation where someone has more quote unquote success than your program by way of wins and losses, right? Once again, wins and losses, major deceivers, right? They make people think you're better than you actually are, right?
Yep.
11-4 does not mean you're good if undefeated was your potential. All right. I actually think if you're a program that is having less success on paper, but has a better story to be told, I actually think you can go to that coach and add another angle of conversation to get them to buy in. To actually say, hey, I actually had a more successful year than you did. Now, don't say it like that, okay? That's not a good thing to say like that, but here's where I'm going with it. I think you can get in conversation, even with that coach who was 11-4, and let's say you had a season with 15 games and you went 4-11. On one end, you could sit there and be like, you know, that 11-4 coach has zero interest on anything I have to say. I mean, what leg do I have to stand on? My team went 4-11.
Yeah.
But I actually think you have a major leg to stand on if, once again, if based on your team and the reality of the talent on your team, and sometimes talent is just a lottery, you can't control the talent you have sometimes, let's just be honest,
for sure.
Graduating classes and things like that. And, you know, sometimes you get those years where you just don't have the talent. And if I say, look at my talent, hey, coach, now let's talk about, you know, you just get in conversation naturally and casually. And before you know it, you start talking about, hey, man, you know, we only won four games, but I got to be honest with you, man, we crushed it this year. I got to be honest, going into the season, I didn't think we were going to win a game. I mean, this is the year we have no talent. We are in like major rebuild mode, but the fact that we got four, man, coach, you need to see what happened here. Man, we had these kids all in. They were committed. Yeah. They were hustling, thriving, coachable. The fact that they got four wins out of this was incredible.
Hey, this is Kayla from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Giving critical feedback is hard, but necessary. And as a leader, it's my duty to say, I believe you are capable of a bigger game. But the challenge that I find with young leaders in particular is that they're afraid to give critical feedback to their teammates. Typically, this is because they're friends and there's fear that this is going to cause some kind of tension in the relationship. So at Chick-fil-A, we coach young leaders to use a very simple method called the three C's: celebrate, champion, and challenge. First, we celebrate what the person does. This is the tangible skills that they bring to the table. Second, we champion who they are, highlighting their character or the values that they uphold. And then lastly, we challenge them, addressing an area of opportunity for them to develop. So the next time you need to give somebody hard feedback, try using the three C's. Now let's jump back to the episode.
Yeah, I think now, selling your experience is powerful like
now
that.
All of a sudden, right, you're now not speaking a wins and losses game with that coach. You're now speaking a, man, I got more out of my players than I ever could have imagined. Oh, by the way, did you? Now that 11-4 coach knows they could have gone 14-1. That 11-4 coach knows getting bounced in the second round did not get them where they needed to. So when they answer that question, hey, did you get the most out of your team? Right. And maybe you say it in a more tactful way, right? As you just kind of say, you know, how do you think your season played out? Oh, I was okay. Like, yeah, you know, obviously y'all had a, you know, good year. Is it kind of what you thought? Not really. Honestly, I thought we could have gone 14-1. Oh yeah. Yeah. Really interesting. How about the playoff run? Relatively disappointing, frankly. You know, I felt like, you know, we could have made it past that second round. Now, all of a sudden, the conversation has changed. Now, all of a sudden, it's I now look more favorable than you because you're now telling me you didn't get the most out of your players, where I'm telling you the story that I got the most out of my players. So who's the real winner here?
Right.
Who's the real winner?
We all know. Yeah.
Put the script on that individual. But then that can all of a sudden open the door to say, hey, let me show you. Let me tell you how I got the most out of my team, right? And now you've opened up, and once again, maybe that begins to get them to be more in, which then helps your conversation in the future of having your players not necessarily dip in their perspective of leadership. But once again, players-wise, they experience that. You have to hang your hat on digging beyond the scoreboard. You have to go beyond the scoreboard when you're having these conversations with your players, talking about the importance. And on their mind as a 16, 17, 18-year-old, well, we won, you all didn't, we must be better. They don't understand that that isn't the grading scale. So for me, I'm sitting down with them in the offseason. I'm sitting down with them in between their season. And as you know, I'm having these conversations. Hey, how is it? Oh, it's good. We're winning. How do you feel like the culture? Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's fine. You know, but we're winning. But like, man, what do you think it could look like? Right? Like, how different could it be? Do you have some players on your team that like, man, they're just not all in? You can use the language to lead them up. You know, what would you say your green, gray, red is on your team? Well, I feel like, you know, we got a lot of reds and grays. Oh, man. Matt, and you're winning in spite of that? Wow, that's crazy. What would it look like if you didn't have to win in spite of them, but they were all in? What do you think the winning would look like? Right? Oh, well, we won last week. Yeah, you did. By 3. Against that team? Y'all should have smoked them. By 3? Man, you should. That's a double-digit win. So yes, on the paper you won, but like, what could it look like? What could it have looked like? You know, and hey, how are your practices? How are they looking? Are they energetic, lively, full of spirit? Or are you kind of going through the motions, right? How connected are y'all? Start talking about some of the specifics within leadership, right? And start allowing those to kind of be grading scales to help them understand, like, you know, wow, you're right. There are levels to this. And I agree, man, we could be, yeah, we're not there. And I think that's part of what it looks like. Now, if you come across a program that doesn't emphasize leadership and character, but yet they are a thriving culture, here's my suggestion to that. Send them my number, because I want to talk to those folks. I want to know what is happening there.
Let's get them on the podcast.
Because that is an anomaly and that I am not familiar with. That you get a program that has an incredible culture where they are reaching their fullest potential every year and not emphasizing leadership and character. Let me see them. And I want to talk to that coach, because I don't even believe the coach on the surface, just FYI. Because I've had, Kyle, you remember this. We've had coaches who don't necessarily want to go all in on leadership.
Yep.
Then get asked to fill out profiles on their teams.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this. my score is 95%.
And they score every category 100%. We've had these come in. And I'm like, okay. Oh, really? Oh, really? Hold on. You're 100% on every... Your team is 100% on accountability, on relationships, on communication. Wow.
No room to get better.
Wow. And you don't need anything leadership-wise, right? As they just filled out the profile simply to check off the box because they were told they had to fill out the profile. So they just filled it out and they just scored 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, secret. Tell me your secret. Yeah, guess what? Levels to it. Yes, there was success. There's levels to it.
You know, I think it's important too to remind people that asking for help and wanting to get better or wanting to improve isn't a sign of weakness. So like someone filling out a form and maybe knowing that someone else might see it could look at it in a sense of like, well, if I don't score this well, that means I'm not a good coach. No, it's not that. It's quite the opposite. It's like realizing there, like you said, levels, there's room for improvement. So it's actually a sign of strength, and encouraging people to lean into that will go a long way, and letting them know that, you know, having an area like that that needs improvement isn't a knock on you. It's actually a sign of your maturity because you're able to recognize it and want to get better at it. The other thing when you were talking that I wrote down here is we often will tell our players to keep their head on a swivel. And I think for us as coaches, we need to do the same thing when we're trying to grow this, because we know that the more teams that do it at our school, the better it's going to hit in our own sport. There are moments that you were talking about, whether it's practice, whether it's just the enjoyment, but you're around coaches enough in the building to where there's going to be moments and opportunities where they might talk about a pain point. They might share a struggle or talk about how difficult, even though they're winning, how challenging this group is. And we all know that some of the best seasons record-wise, if you've been in sports long enough, you'll either experience it or you'll have someone at your school where they have statistically on the outside looking at a great season. But when you talk to that person, they'll sit there and tell you that that was the most painful experience and they can't wait for it to be over because it wasn't fun. It wasn't filled with joy. It wasn't rewarding. The culture was terrible. And they won in spite of that, but they would rather be 500 and have a great culture than be 17-2 with a terrible culture and you're just fighting Reds the entire time.
Yeah. Great call.
So I think we got to remind them on that, you know?
Yeah, great call out. You know, last thing I'll say on this, I think when you have a player, when you have groups of players and you know you're about to let them go, right? Almost like empty nest. You're letting the birds fly away and your season is done. And now you're letting them go to the the tutelage and mentorship of this next coach, which is not fully aligned. I think when you recognize that, in those moments, you now need to dial up your intentionality of connectedness with those players.
Yeah.
Where you have to see what the potential and stay in constant communication, having these conversations, knowing the possibilities of bad habits and, you know, slippage and drifting, right, from that level or standard that you may have had. So you got to stay in it with them. Having those Absolutely. Conversations throughout. So you don't necessarily go like a 3-month gap of like disconnecting in the conversation. Now all of a sudden you're trying to bring this person back from here. Whereas if you had touch points throughout that season, yeah. continued interaction and communication, how's it going? You're helping them talk and navigate through this different environment that this team produces versus yours. So I think being very intentional. On the flip side, maybe pulling back a little bit when you know they're leaving your program, going to a coach that is incredible, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, sweet. I'm actually like, hey, appreciate you, coach. You always bring me back some A+ kids. Thank you so much. Like, you know, I know teams like that where thinking about my friend Sean Dooley and Eric Suts and Port, right? One coaches in the winter, one coaches in the spring. If I'm Dooley and my players are going from me to Eric Suts in the spring, I'm like, yes. I'm like, thank you. Right. Cause yeah. then I know I'm going to get my kids, like, he's just going to keep pouring in. So in those moments, maybe I don't feel the need to be as intentional to touch base on the culture and the leadership conversation. Cause I just know that coach is going to pick up right where I left off and they're going to build. In fact, they're going to bring me back a better player when summer comes back around and my summer workouts start happening. And I'm so thankful for that.
Think about that as a parent. Like, I'm sure you're the same, but the people that you're most thankful for as a parent are the other adults that can help guide your own kids. And they have the same message and you feel comfortable. Like if your kids are stepping out of line or not doing anything, that they can call them out. Like, there is power in another voice speaking the same message that's in alignment with the vision.
I mean,
having that coach is vital.
It's so important, Kyle. It's why parents pay for Lead 'Em Up at times. It's why they pay for Lead 'Em Up at times, because they want the voices in their kid's head, right, to be this driving, positive, like, right, uplifting, developmental, building type voice, because it is so valuable in the future growth of that player. Same holds true here. If I'm a winter coach, like in the spring coach, I know is going to be that voice. It is a breath of fresh air. And I'm like so thankful for it. Gives you more credibility. You know, you're going to get back in return a coach that's just kind of, or a player that just has a mindset that is healthy and fresh and team oriented and all those different things. It's transformational. But when it's not there, you now need to insert yourself greater.
Yep, absolutely. Right?
And reframe the conversations, reframe oftentimes what success looks like, just so your players understand it. And just be very, very intentional with it. So, Kyle, appreciate you. Hope this helped for any coach going through this. Just as we just kind of talked through and allowed you to keep processing on your own. Hey, we appreciate all of you listening. As always, I'm Adam on behalf of Kyle. Until next time, we are